Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. How are you doing today?
So, J.P., I was watching a lot with curiosity as I was overseas for a couple of weeks, and when this issue of the keys came up, I was kind of like, what's next?
It's a lot. It's. I mean, you used to be in charge of a secure facility, Newell. You know how important it is that when you're offboarding someone, you have to take the keys. And the fact that I had a copy of the keys was just, it was a lot.
So, it was interesting, Sheriff Hudson's response obviously doesn't bring forward any inventory documentation of materials that are assigned to this particular individual who I think was terminated from their employ with the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office or anything like that. She didn't bring the receipts and just basically said, those keys are not to the jail.
Right, and I think I think it kind of misses the point, because as you know, obviously those keys are probably not to any particular cells, because as you know, the jail, there's a variety of doors and locks throughout a facility. But the challenge is, and you know this from being in your past capacity, being a jailer, it's about site security. And when you look at the escape itself, they broke out of their cell through the mechanical pipes into an unlocked storage room. That is the story we've all been told, right? When you look at something like me jingling some keys, well, we don't know if the storage room was locked. No, the unlocked storage room could have been locked. Also, part of the excuse we got remember there was that huge delay between when the escapees escaped and when they did the affirmative head count and notified an OPD. One of the things we were told at the council was, well, occasionally the sheriff loses inmates inside the facility, so what they wanted to double-check they weren't somewhere else. You know from having run a jail, that's what those keys symbolize. If the inmates literally have the keys to the asylum, they can go anywhere. And it doesn't matter if you've got a faulty lock to a jail cell. If someone has keys to get in every single office, to go in every single room, to exit every door, to get out of every fence, having site security, site control, is knowing where every single key is. And as you saw from the video, we have a key log showing not only did I have this copy of these keys that were given to me by a foreign employee, but people are checking out keys, generally speaking, for hundreds of days with no accountability. And as you know, with those types of keys that are like those things called star keys, a reputable locksmith will not copy them, but right, lots of disreputable ones will. So we have no idea how many of any of these keys are out in the public right now.
So what is your assessment of the situation right now? I made the observation yesterday in my monologue that we need to close the chapter on this, and the best thing that could happen would be for Sheriff Susan Hudson to resign. I think she's in office until June 30 of next year, if my memory serves me correct.
I would give one big caveat to that, because you know this being a sheriff. Remember, what happens when a sheriff resigns? Their chief deputy becomes the sheriff.
That is correct, if the federal court is not willing to step in. Now, they've stepped in before.
That is the caveat you and I can both agree on. Because, like, I've gotten a lot of pushback from people saying, well, why aren't you calling on the sheriff to resign? I'm like, well, under the law currently, if the sheriff resigns, sheriffs basically handpick their replacements because their chief deputy becomes the sheriff. So if I thought there was competence at any level over there and that there was a person we could all agree upon would be the next person to operate the jail until the election's over, I think a resignation's appropriate. I mean, honestly, I think the best case scenario is I think the federal judge needs to step in and needs to come in and weigh in on how this jail's going to function. Now, whether that is a administrative takeover, whether it's allowing state DOC to step in and run the jail, someone else needs to be running the jail. I just don't think it needs to be Susan or her handpicked deputy, which would be the next sheriff. So that's my, to your point, I agree. If the option is to have someone else that's not currently there running it, I can agree to that.
Because there hasn't been anything positive that has come out of any of these investigations thus far. In fact, you know, it's getting progressively worse, and I suspect that it's going to continue down this path, right? I mean, and I don't know how many millions of dollars has been spent in trying to capture these inmates. We still have two at large. I said it's over $1 million. I've had other people say it's probably more like 3 or 4 million. You know, I mean, how much is too much before we say, you know, you just got, just please, just move on.
Well, I mean, to your point, that $1 million is how much the city has spent, because we're spending about $200 to $250 a week. That's not including what the state's spending. That's not including what the U.S. Marshals and everyone else is spending. So if you're looking at just the city, we're probably at about $1 million. If you factor in everyone else and their dragnet, you're talking about way more than that. And as you might recall from one of the many infamous exchanges that I had with the sheriff during one of our many meetings, when she was talking about how we don't help, and I looked at her and I looked at her CFO, Ms. Brown, and I said, we're not helping. We're footing the bill to catch the people you lost. Like, if you know, Newell, if this was any other parish and any other traditional sheriff, they would be on the hook for this. But because the nature of how our sheriff is, because they're not the law enforcement entity, which is separate, we're having to redirect general fund to augment NOPD to make up for the screw up. And it's frustrating us as a council because the sheriff continued this narrative of, if I had more money, I could solve the problems. And it's like, no, from what we've seen every day, as more information comes to light, the big thing that came out our most recent meeting is, and the legislative auditor said it best, she's sitting on anywhere from $8 to $17 million in fund balance. When we find that out and you're telling us that these eight things have been fixed, the inmates wouldn't have escaped. She had the money, Newell, to fix it the whole time. It's just she wanted us to spend our money, spend city money, defund projects, defund roads, defund parks, defund whatever, because she wanted to sit on cash reserves we didn't know about. And, I mean, I don't know how much further you can go into the lane of malfeasance than that, and that you knew things had to be fixed, and you decided that you would not spend the money that the city had given you, that voters had given you, to actually shore up the thing you're in charge of maintaining.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty basic, right, in the setting of the priorities and laying out the communication that at a later date the city could reimburse you for these expenses, but because of the exigency of the situation that you would have to spend these dollars now. I mean, we've all been faced with these predicaments, right?
Right. I mean, that was the primary issue which really bugged me in that exchange was that the sheriff portrayed a sense of urgency when it came to securing city dollars. But to your point, if you have to spend money, you always have the ability. Every agency, we don't encourage deficit spending, but in an emergency, you need to address the issue. I mean, it happened during, we didn't allocate money in advance for what happened on January 1st. NOPD and everyone else spent the money that was necessary, and then we have to readjust the budget after the event to address that. That is what you do in an emergency. You can't on one breath say this is an emergency, that's not my fault, and then be sitting on millions of dollars to either prevent it from happening or deal with the immediate aftermath, and yet still say, I want to wait to get you to write a check versus me writing my own check. You can't have it both ways.
So, JP, where are we relative to the consent decree and the federal court? I know there was a series of meetings in the immediate aftermath of the escape. Has there been any follow-up, and has there been any articulation by the court as to what they're thinking about at this present time?
Not really. I will say that what I do know and what I can comment on, obviously the judges had a closed-door meeting after the event happened. And what I know at this point is that a lot of the issues that contributed to this escape were things the monitor had flagged the sheriff for repeatedly. For example, the staffing issue, the tiers not being properly maintained, and really the kind of current state of the jail. So, I mean, on one hand, we know that based on the monitor's reports, which are publicly available, there was a deterioration of, and I'll say the facility in quotes because there's a lot of contention as to how deteriorated the facility is versus maintaining control of the jail itself. As you know, having been a former sheriff, in every jail in the universe, if left to their own devices, people who are frustrated and incarcerated will damage the jail if there's no repercussions for doing it.
Sure.
Part of what is obvious, both from what the monitor said and from what the legislative auditor observed, is that this is a jail that has that the sheriff has lost complete control over, and the acceleration of the deterioration of what is really a very young jail has largely been because when you don't have proper staffing and proper procedure, it allows the people who are incarcerated and frustrated to do a lot of damage to jails and locks and the like. And in any prison, if you don't control the prison, that's what happens. And it's kind of funny. You may have seen, Newell, the sheriff likes to say, he said in a response, you need to come tour the jail. Here's the funny thing, Newell. I did tour the jail. I toured the jail in August of 2022 after, as you may recall, that series of riots where they had to send in the SWAT team to reincarcerate everyone. And when I toured the jail at that time, Newell, two things came out. One, all the sheriff complained about was door handles not being installed correctly. No locks, no plumbing. That's one thing. Two, and you'll appreciate this, when I was touring the jail with the sheriff in August 2022, because I've toured the jail before, her consultant, this Australian woman, talked about how it was super important that all of the residents, because the sheriff repeatedly correct every sheriff that called an inmate, said all the residents, that the residents have access to iPads because it would help them be more manageable if they could use the iPads to stay in contact with their family. I said two things at that point. One, I said, are you telling me that your priority spending-wise is to give iPads to people that are in jail? Because that does not seem like you're facilitating the rehabilitative process by removing things that could be a corrupted influence. And two, I said, all you're going to have if you give inmates iPads is you have an unsecure line to the outside where they can do bad things. And what you've seen thus far in the reporting is that there was an unmonitored FaceTime call they later found out about, according to what's been reported, where one of the individuals, I think Groves, who's still out, was planning on these iPads or some other FaceTime app on how he was going to escape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just priorities. Well, I mean, the average person in the city of New Orleans, based upon our income levels, based upon research and studies we have, can't afford an iPad. Yet their tax dollars are going towards giving iPads to people that are incarcerated. That doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
Well, you know, in light of all of that, I mean, that's why I didn't take it very lightly when I mentioned it in my monologue yesterday. But, I mean, I just listened to what you said, and you're making the case that it's time to move on, because if the court is really interested in the safety and security of the guards, the safety and security of the prisoners, and the safety and security of the community at large, I'm not sure and I'm not clear as to what other evidence is necessary that needs to present itself to say this is not happening under this particular individual's lack of leadership and it's not getting any better. I don't see it. I'm kind of curious. I just got a text from somebody that said they were working in the jail yesterday and that particular door that was broken to the area where they were able to break out, now they have a padlock on it. Too little too late.
I think if I had to guess, what I think is probably happening is that there are probably a lot of people in law enforcement and the courts that are waiting for the outcome of the Liz Merle investigation and Mike Wagaspak's audit of the jail. And I think that at the outcome of that, when those reports are made public, if I had to guess, that is going to spur multiple parties to do something pretty drastic, if I had to guess. And that's purely just my opinion, but I think what everyone's waiting for as far as those parties that could do something right now is something that is objective and actionable, showing that this is what's necessary to resolve it. To your point, like I said earlier, the only reason why I haven't called for the sheriff's resignation is because under the law, the sheriff picks a replacement. So making her resign doesn't solve the problem for me. If we get this report back from the attorney general, from the monitors of the jail, from Michael Wagaspak, the auditor, showing that there is as much mismanagement as we believe there to be, at that point, it is incumbent upon people at the state and federal level to do what's best to retain control of the facility. I mean, remember, part of what the monitor said in their report is the amount of violence and sexual assault in the jail has gone up under the sheriff. So it's not just an issue of keeping the public safe, in quotes. It's keeping the people in the jail safe in reality. Like, when you talk about there being unsafe standards in a holding facility, it's about everybody being safe. So it's like, even whether you're an advocate for the rights of those incarcerated or you're someone scared to go out at night, neither party is served when a sheriff can't control their jail. Full stop.
Yeah. I agree. And it's really a shame because the public's trust is eroding on this. I mean, we saw an increase with NOPD. We saw an increase with the DA, Jason Williams. You know, obviously this sheriff's in the toilet. You know, a lot of the judges in the toilet as well. You have this opportunity right now to create a lot of momentum, very positive momentum as to where we are and for good reasons. And, there are these moments, there are these moments that you've got to take advantage of and exploit to really get to the next level. And I think this is one of those moments. I wish she would look at herself critically in the mirror and just resign.
And let the chips fall where they may.
It can't get any worse. I mean, I don't care who our chief deputy is. It can't get any worse. I mean,
I would caution you. You've seen my exchanges with her CFO. I would definitely say it could absolutely be worse. And what I would simply add is, to your point of there being a moment, this jailbreak happened a week after the sheriff passed a very contentious millage by 2 votes.
Sure.
So to compound how bad the moment was, you had a millage that had previously failed. She put it again on an off election. It scoots by on the skin of its teeth because two people decided they were going to give this sheriff a chance and put this over the top. I have not met a single person who voted for that millage that doesn't feel nauseous after what happened. Because remember, when we had our first meeting after the jailbreak and we asked what part of that millage would she put towards a revenue bond to help secure the facility, she declined to put any of the millage money up to make the facility safer and more secure, which told everyone who voted for that millage that everything that was sold to pass that millage based on trust, it was all BS, Noel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. I think there's a moment, and that moment, any moment she would have had to turn this around has changed. It is a national embarrassment. It is a focus on, yet again, the city having a black eye because we're not controlling something that's a basic service. And it's almost like we all see the writing on the wall. I think when there is an after-action report on this, there's deficiencies, Newell, you and I don't see yet that are going to come out in these reports. And it's going to be worse than what is now. And
I'm a total agreement with you.
Right. So, I mean, the fact that there's no exit strategy, I mean, the sheriff could voluntarily right now say, I've lost control of the facility. I'm going to bring in, I mean, honestly, you know, the Sheriff's Association is a tremendous resource. If any sheriff asks another sheriff for help, they give help if they can. When you talk to sheriffs, she's never asked for help.
No, and it's a failure, quite frankly. I mean, that's, you know, what you see when there's a lack of credible leadership. And obviously that's what we're facing at the present time. I don't know. It's just very disappointing. I mean, there's so many things that are relatively easy to do that we just don't seem to be able to get there. We're stuck in this ideological warfare on stuff, and it doesn't make much sense. And, you know, and here we are, we're down and out with this issue and holding back a lot of positive momentum that we could have. We're fighting for our lives right now. This summer is going to be a tough summer. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, the economies across this country are and you need to hit, you know, you've got to be at the plate hitting base hits every day, to use the baseball analogy. But I mean, you know, it's kind of frustrating. I don't know.
It is, Noel.
It'll be interesting. It will be interesting. Yeah. But as always, you know, we didn't talk about garbage today. And now that you are the holder of the keys, it looks like keys will dominate the future conversations.
Well, hopefully we'll have something positive to talk about next time, though. I'll figure out something nice to talk about next time.
Absolutely. JP Morrell, as always, thank you for making yourself available. We truly appreciate it. Have a great Father's Day weekend.
You too, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, folks. The LSU Fighting Tigers are in Omaha. Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network news and sports director and WWL.com LSU columnist joins us. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, doing well, Newell. How you doing?
You know, I can't think of a better way to spend my Father's Day weekend than watching the Tigers play at 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening. I've been looking at the brackets, you know, all day today, and I'm like, how did we end up with one of the highest ranked teams in the whole damn thing? Two of the highest ranked teams in the whole damn thing being against one another in the first game out.
Well, it's just a very unique College World Series. Not only is that all eight teams, none of the teams that won it last year are back this year. That's a rarity. Usually you'll have at least a couple that return the following year. But you had the number one and the number two seeds, Texas and Vanderbilt, get eliminated. And you know, the four seed's gone, the five seed's gone, the seven seed is gone. And it's been just a very wide open tournament, and it's resulted in this, as many people have labeled it, a diverse field of teams that have made it into the College World Series. And it's just, if you want to call it the luck of the draw, I don't know if it's so lucky, but just the way way it all shook out, two of the best teams in the country, LSU and Arkansas, they face each other in the opening round of the College World Series. So it is what it is. It's you know, the cards that have been dealt to these two teams, and it really sets up a monumental matchup Saturday night, because the winner is certainly in a really good spot, while the loser will have some work to do in order to get to the championship series.
And in the end, right, you got to hit the ball, you got to play error-free baseball, and things just have to come together, and you got to have some good solid pitching.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, in particular, Saturday night, we're anticipating a very close game. And it's going to come down to whoever can get the clutch hits, who can make the least amount of errors or mistakes in the field, or on the base pass, too. You can't have a bunch of base runners being thrown out. And then you're going to need some key strikeouts from time to time. You're going to need make quality pitches. And especially late in the game. And so I anticipate, and that's the thing, you know, with LSU and Arkansas, I think these two teams could play each other 10 times over the course of the next 2 weeks, and each team would win it, you know, five times. And it would, and in a lot of those games, it would come down to a big play occurring in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. You know, when they met in the regular season, you had a game going extra innings. The next game, LSU took control of it and won in a run rule fashion. And then in the final game, Arkansas came back to win after LSU established a lead. So it's really you got to play as fundamentally sound as you possibly can when you're going up against a team as good as Arkansas.
So let's talk about the health of the Tigers. Pretty solid?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, there's really only been one injury. One injury all season long, and that happened earlier in the year in Gavin Guidry, a guy that you were really counting on this year to be a big part of your pitching staff. And there were times that I think LSU missed him, and I think LSU still misses him. You just – a guy, you know, especially considering how young this staff is and how – inexperienced it is. I mean, really the only guy coming back, you know, had two guys, you know, that are currently still pitching that had any SEC experience previously, and that was Chase Shores and Cade Anderson. And both of those guys, it was limited experience in the SEC as far as pitching. And Gavin Guidry was a guy that got the final out in the College World Series to win the national championship in 2023, and he's been a main part of LSU's pitching staff the last 2 years, and he was going to be a mentor and kind of a leader of that group. And you lose him early on in the season to a back injury that required surgery. And I think there were times this season they really needed a guy like Gavin Guidry to help stabilize that bullpen, but that his injury has allowed, because he has not been available to pitch this year, it has allowed other guys to step up and become big parts of that bullpen. Guys like Cooper Williams, who pitched very well last weekend, and Chase Shores, who's really found himself in a relief role, and Maverick Rizzi, and there's DJ Primo. I mean, just a lot of other guys have had to step up, and those guys should now be ready to handle the big moment on the big stage coming up here over the next week.
Jeff, either you've been in the old Rosenblatt and the new stadium. I never did see the Tigers play at Rosenblatt. I was up there one year. The Tigers didn't make it, and I went to a bunch of games. The tension in that stadium, especially that first round game, is something I've never experienced or felt before while watching a baseball. You could just cut it with a knife. It just seemed like it was so tense.
Well, and I think that's what you're going to feel on Saturday night, even for the folks that are not going to be able to go to Omaha. If you're watching it or listening to it, I think you're going to be able to feel that intensity because of just how important tomorrow night's game is. You lose it, you then have to come back and potentially beat for instance, if LSU loses, that means they'll probably have to beat Arkansas twice to get to the championship series. They'll also have to beat another team as well. And it really then tests your pitching depth. And we talked about it right at the top here, Newell, that these are LSU and Arkansas are considered the two best teams in the field. And if you can win this game, man, does it just set you up knowing that if you win again on Monday, then you're just one win away from getting to the championship series, and you haven't really dove too deep into your pitching staff to get to it. So, and you got two SEC fan bases. Only two SEC schools made the College World Series this year after we were thinking there might be six or seven that make it to Omaha. You only get two, and you got two fan bases. I think these are the two best fan bases, too. When you look at the attendance numbers and how well Arkansas fans support that Razorback baseball program, and we all know how LSU fans support the Tigers program, you got the two best fan bases going at it. And I think you also, from Arkansas's side, you have this sense of urgency that this is the best team they've had. They've had some chances to win it before. In fact, in 2018, they couldn't get the job done. They had a lead late, couldn't catch a pop-up, ended up losing to Oregon State for the national championship. And so there's this feeling among the fan base that this is our time. We should win it this year. And where, LSU fans feel like they should win it every year. But so you have that too. Like, I mean, I think from the Arkansas perspective, it's got to be, if not this season, when? Because they've always been very good on the mound with Dave Van Horn as their head coach, and they've been excellent in the field. But this year they have the offense to go along with that great pitching that they have and that outstanding defense that they have. They've never had a more complete team than this one. And there's a lot of pressure here on Arkansas to get it done and to win it this year.
You know, and in spite of all of that, there is that LSU mystique in Omaha, right? And they are the favorite of the locals there. The people in Omaha cry when LSU does not make it to the College World Series.
Right, right. No, I think there is that belief, even though there's only three guys on this team that were on the 2023 national championship team, you get the sense that LSU understands what is expected out of them when they get to this point, and that they're expected to win these kind of games. And they had that refuse to lose attitude in 2023 to win the national championship. Remember, they got sent into the loser's bracket in 2023. They won against Tennessee in the opening round, and then they lost a winner's bracket game to Wake Forest, and then had to come back after that and beat Wake Forest. They had to win then three games, including two wins over Wake Forest, to get to the championship series. So, during that stretch there, when they had won three in a row and really four in a row, when you include the first game of the championship series against Florida, they really had a refuse to lose attitude that helped them win a couple of those close games against Wake Forest and Florida. And I think for LSU, I think that does carry some weight for them that, hey, this program, when it gets to Omaha, it expects to win. And you have that confidence going with you. And we'll see if it works out for LSU here over the next week and a half.
Yeah, I almost hurt myself watching that game, shimmying around in that seat and contorting myself. You know, miracle catches made and – you know, yeah. Miracle hits made. And I mean, there was PTSD after some of those games, quite frankly.
Well, I mean, just some magical moments when you go back to 2023. I mean, Trey Morgan's play on the bunt to shovel it to the catcher to get the out that prevented Wake Forest from scoring a go-ahead run there late. Josh Pearson's great catch, Tommy White's walk-off home run. Just some really great moments and memories from that run in 2023. And I think as a fan, that's what you're waiting for here, right? I mean, you're waiting for, you know, who is going to be the guy to step up this year and provide that moment that you will never forget. And we'll see if that does occur. And that's why. I mean, I would be shocked if Saturday night's game, if one team ran away with it. You know, if somebody won 7-2 or something like that. You know, unless there's maybe a late home run at the end of the game, a 3-run shot that kind of puts the game away. You got two outstanding pitchers. Arkansas has already announced Zach Root, who really pitched very well last week against Tennessee, and he had this emotion going for him too in that game against Tennessee, and I think part of it was the opponent, because Tennessee plays with so much emotion, and I think Root tried to match that, and it worked out for him. So I would imagine he might bring it again. And then you got Cade Anderson for LSU, and he is such a competitor, and he's such a determined guy that you just can't imagine that even though these two offenses are good, that they're going to go out there on Saturday night and put up a bunch of runs against these two starters. So you got to battle if you're in the box. And if you get runners in scoring position, you better take advantage of it.
And we got a game that's about to start in an hour in a few minutes here, actually. Coastal Carolina and Arizona. In the other bracket, let's just talk for a moment. Oregon State always seems to be lingering around the College World Series.
Yeah, and this year, like, nobody going into the tournament, nobody really knew anything about them because they're not playing in a conference anymore. They're an independent, you know, the Pac-12 basically dissolved. So they, you know, you're not in a conference, you're not in a conference tournament. And so they're just playing whoever they can play, you know, finding teams, and they really put together a very solid season. And I mentioned that 2018 season, that was the last time they won a national championship. They've won 3 years in the 2000s, so they've actually won more than LSU. Well, I guess more if you count 2001. You know, they're right there with LSU as far as winning national championships. And so they have a understanding and belief what needs to get done to win it. And they just have some terrific players as always as well. I mean, they're always so prepared. This Iva Arquette is an outstanding player. Gavin Turley is another good player that they have. Dax Whitney, a freshman pitcher, has really impressive for them. And so they got an eight national. They were the eighth seed. A lot of people didn't know if they would actually be a top eight national seed, just because, again, they're not playing in a conference, and a lot of people aren't really paying attention to them. But they got there, and they took care of Florida State last weekend in the Super Regional Series. And so I think that will be the team that will face off against either LSU or Arkansas out of this bracket. I think they're the ones that are going to get there. Coastal Carolina is playing extremely confident. Arizona has looked really good. They just went across the country and won in the Chapel Hill Super Regional, beating North Carolina. So, and then you got Louisville out there as well, who's had a solid season. But I think Oregon State, they got the championship pedigree, and I wouldn't be surprised if they find themselves in the championship series.
Yeah, I feel the same way. As always, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network News and Sports Director and WWL.com LSU columnist. I know you're excited about tomorrow night's game. I am as well. I cannot wait. Have a great Father's Day weekend.
All right. Oh, try to stay calm, too.
Yeah. That's impossible. Everybody typically leaves the room when I'm watching LSU baseball.
All right.
Okey-doke. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We'll be right back. So we know that, folks, you are very busy on the weekends running around and everything else. We just talked about the LSU game. Please know that you can catch it right here on WWL as your home to LSU baseball in the College World Series. As we talked about, the Tigers' first opponents, the Arkansas Razorbacks, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Pre-game will start right here on WWL at 5:30. And if LSU wins, they'll play Monday at 6. If the Tigers lose, they'll play Monday at 1 o'clock, and we'll bring you every hit, every catch, every home run of LSU baseball's 20th appearance at the College World Series, brought to you in part by our great sponsors, Cummings, First American Bank, Jerry Lane Cadillac, Keefe's Heating and Air, and Louisiana Delta Center on WWL and on the live free Odyssey app, right? Go Tigers. I know that's what I'll be watching. I'll probably watch a little bit of these games tonight, too, in the other bracket. They start at 1 o'clock our time, 2 o'clock Eastern. First game takes off, and then there's another game at 7 o'clock tonight as well. So they are getting started in Omaha. It's always very exciting. You know, a lot of folks don't recognize or realize just how much the folks in Omaha really love when LSU makes it there. I happened to be in Omaha. My son was playing in a tournament there during the College World Series. It was a non-LSU year. And I had heard so much about how hard tickets were. I called the ticket broker, and you know, we started talking about where in the stadium. And I got seats right behind home plate, like on row five, like relatively cheap. I mean, it was like I was shocked. I said, I was anticipating, you know, I didn't know if I would ever get to Omaha again. I said, I was anticipating that this was going to cost more. And he started laughing. I said, well, what's so funny? He goes, well, you're from Louisiana. He goes, you should know, non-LSU year. He goes, if LSU was in the game or in the series, that ticket would probably cost 5 to 10 times what you're paying for it. It's like, what? He goes, oh yeah, we cry in Omaha when the LSU Fighting Tigers don't make it to the College World Series because of all the people that they bring, and they cannot wait for the Tiger Nation to get up there in Omaha. And I heard it right from the ticket broker's mouth that that was how they felt about it. All right, folks, got to get to a break. We will be right back. Stay with us. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has headed your way on Free for All Friday. Stay with us. Scoot joins us on Free for All Friday. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
All right, Friday the 13th. I hope it's been a good day so far. We'll talk about the military parade, protest, and a lot more coming up this weekend.
All righty. Have a happy Father's Day weekend as well to all.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.